You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. The great Brent Musburger will stop by. He's the voice of the Las Vegas Raiders. What's different about the Raiders this year as opposed to the last couple of years with John Gruden? So we'll talk to Brent Musburger. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. McLovin, we have a poll question for the final hour.
Okay. First 2 hours was surprising. If you could add one of these veteran quarterbacks, who would you add? Nick Foles, Cam Newton, or RG3? 80% say Nick Foles. And then 19% Cam Newton. And then 1% RG3.
I would take Nick Foles as well. If I'm Washington right now and I could have my choice of these three, I would take Nick Foles.
I would think Cam would be a great option too, though, for... You know,
well, let's put it this way. His former coach, Ron Rivera, in Carolina, is the head coach in Washington, and he's not bringing him in. All it takes is one phone call. I just think Ron Rivera knows that he is not the passer that he needs for this team right now. But they have weapons, good running back, couple of really good wide receivers. I think he realizes that what their offense is. Nick Foles is more like Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I could plug him in and he could, you know, pick up the system, and I think he would be an improvement. RG3, I don't want. I know he's only like 31. Isn't that amazing? Like when RG3 started and we watched what he was doing that first year, and we're like, oh my God. Like he's got high end track speed. He made the Pro Bowl, and we were thinking, here's the future of the NFL. It wasn't that long ago. He's only 31, and now he's a broadcaster for ESPN. I was wondering with Manning Night Football, will we see this in other sports? Would NBC try this on Sunday night? Well, there's only one Peyton Manning. I mean, he's the unicorn. Everybody wanted to get Peyton Manning. Oh, Peyton Manning is your analyst. So Peyton does it with his brother. We love to imitate. Now everybody's looking for the next Tony Romo. Well, you're not going to find the next Tony Romo. I don't think Peyton's going to do this much longer. He might be doing it, having fun. I think he's going to try to get into ownership with the Denver Broncos. But you know, while he's doing this, I think somebody's going to go, who can we bring in? Because ESPN has had the mega cast where they'll bring in coaches, and then they'll sit around the table and watch the game. The NBA has tried this. Bill Simmons, 7 years ago, did this, called Ride Along with Jalen Rose. So Bill was ahead of the curve on this. But like, what baseball player would you want sitting around with somebody? What basketball player? Like, LeBron's the only guy, it feels like. Maybe Steph Curry? Maybe? Because they tried to do this with Kevin Garnett, who's got a ton of personality. You know, TBS did this, like the Players Lounge, and that didn't take off. Yeah, Seton.
It's sort of like the white whale that every network or content provider has been trying to figure out.
Yeah.
But it feels like the Manning brothers are the closest it's come to getting it right.
You're trying to imitate. The business is all about imitation. It's somebody does something and somebody else goes, oh, I want to do that too. Let's try to get that kind of personality. ESPN's been trying to replicate inside the NBA for 20 years. You can't. And I even told them when I was there, we can't be that. Because you know why? They have Charles Barkley. There's only one Charles Barkley. And then they bring in Shaq. Okay, there's only one Shaq. Kenny Smith, there are a lot of Kenny Smiths out there, but Kenny works in that group with them, knowing his role. Ernie Johnson, there's one Ernie Johnson landing the planes there. Don't try to replicate that. I thought ESPN with their, you know, game day, with the NFL show, Countdown, they were trying to be like Fox was or is with Terry Bradshaw and Howie. You know, when they Chris Collinsworth was on there and they had Jimmy on there, like they were trying to be that. And like College Game Day, Fox is trying to be College Game Day. They can't be. You know, you can have names on there, but it's chemistry on there. Nobody knew Kirk Herbstreit. I mean, he and Fowler are really good friends. Lee Corso. Nobody knew about Lee Corso. He wasn't a big name coach, but it worked. And you try to replicate that and you can't. You know, imitation, greatest form of flattery. But also, it can be pretty tough in this business. And that's why I don't see anybody else being able to do this. If Tom Brady decided when he retired, he was going to do one of these where he sits around with who? Gronk? Okay. I mean, I'd watch that. And then you have guests on. I'd be curious. You know, if he had a defensive player on, I'd be curious about that. But they're going to try to do it, but you can't. Because Peyton and Eli together, first of all, you got two brothers, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. And then the chemistry is what you can't replicate. And that's what, you know, everybody tries to do, and they're not going to be able to do that. But that won't stop them. There'll be other networks that try to do this. Yeah, Paul.
You mentioned who would you do for the NBA. It would have been Kobe Bryant for me.
Yes.
Kobe Bryant was as intelligent as anybody. He can break down anything in the moment.
Yep.
And he played against everybody. He played against Jordan. He played against LeBron. He encapsulated two generations of NBA. He would have been perfect for this kind of second screen role.
It's the science of it that Kobe ate up, that he loved. He loved breaking things down. He loved trying to understand, like, how do you do that? I want to learn how to do that. And that kind of obsession is what Peyton has. And, you know, the show Details on ESPN is great because it allows you to kind of go into the lab with these athletes and find out what they see and how they approach it, what makes them tick. Kobe would have been one that you could tune in, and that would have been good TV because he would have given you, he would have been great at breaking things down. Plus, the guests that he would have wouldn't necessarily be basketball guests because he had so many different interests. I think it'd be great. You know, and Peyton and Eli are going to get any guests that they want. Yeah, McLovin.
What did you think of TNT hiring Wayne Gretzky as a centerpiece of their studio show, trying to be inside the NBA for hockey? Because he's the biggest star there ever was.
Yeah, but he doesn't move the needle from the standpoint of, you know, is Wayne going to say something? Wayne is such a great ambassador for the sport. But Wayne is like Joe Montana. Are they going to say anything? Are you going to say something that makes some headlines? I mean, that's the key. When you think of these shows, you know, Peyton says something, it can be headlines. Barkley says something. Shaq says something. How many guys are you getting headline-worthy material out of? Wayne's just a guy who loves the sport and is a great ambassador. But is he going to, can he break down how, you know, an offensive-minded player thinks, what you think? Because it felt like Wayne was so instinctive that I don't know if he could explain how he did what he did. I asked John McEnroe many, many years ago. I said, can you explain what you do? And he didn't know how to do it. He said, I don't think about it. I just do it when I play. And Joe Montana, Joe's a wonderful guy. But he, you know, they tried him as a broadcaster. It didn't work. You know, Joe Namath, one of the most charismatic guys we've ever had in the NFL. It didn't work as a broadcaster. Yeah, Todd.
And they're so soft-spoken. Like you're saying, they're nice guys. Once you get past the, you know, wow, look, they got Wayne Gretzky on set or Joe Montana set. Once you get past the name value and it's time for the content, we've had them on the show. We've seen them in interviews. They're just very soft-spoken guys.
Yeah, but that's their personality. You know, Peyton has got that, I can jab you. I got a great sense of humor. You know, he's given the Patriots grief. You know, he gets up there at the Hall of Fame and he pokes fun at Ray Lewis from the previous Hall of Fame speech that took forever. Like, he's really, really good at that. Aaron Rodgers might be that kind of guy. I could see Aaron Rodgers being able to do something like this. By the way, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, he was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday and he didn't call out anybody by name. I think I know who he's talking about when he said this.
It's absolute horse to give a platform to people who have no idea what they're talking about as far as my mental state and, you know, my focus, my work habits. People that have not been around me, they're not in my life. I don't have communication with them or not in the locker room. That's just, it's chicken, you know, it's so ridiculous.
That's Aaron Rodgers yesterday on Pat McAfee's show. I think he might be talking about JerMichael Finley, the former Packer tight end, I think spent 6 or 7 years with Green Bay, and he had this to say recently about Aaron Rodgers on ESPN Radio.
This is the National Football League. Each offseason, you got to work like it's the last season. And I just don't see a work ethic in Aaron Rodgers that I have in previous years. And actually, you can see it right through his helmet. The eyes and the face tells everything of the personality. And I just don't see it, that NFL hunger and just feel hungry to go win another championship. I just think it's cliche and talk that guys get up there and say, oh, I want to win a championship. I mean, it sounds good, but I want to see what you do on the field.
Okay. I mean, that's JerMichael Finley's opinion. But how does he know who Aaron Rodgers is or in the offseason? Just because you see him with a new girlfriend or fiance, he's partying with Miles Teller in Hawaii, and his wife, like it doesn't mean that Aaron Rodgers doesn't care. Like Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to go, I'm going to mail this in. I might be embarrassed this year. I mean, come on. J.J. Watt posts more pictures than anybody. Does anybody question his desire to want to be great? Yeah, see.
Does he really think that when Aaron Rodgers says he wants to win a Super Bowl that he's lying?
I don't know.
That he doesn't actually want to.
Nobody cares about JerMichael Finley. But he speaks up like this. He stands out in the crowd. Now, all of a sudden, you give him a platform, and he's trying to make a name for himself again. Okay. You know, does he want to go into the broadcast business or, you know, be a hot take guy on ESPN? Maybe. Maybe that's what he's doing. Because if he came out and said if he's like A.J. Hawk, former Packer teammate, A.J. Hawk doesn't say this. But does JerMichael Finley, if he came out and said, Aaron, hey, he's a great guy, great teammate, blah, 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 blah. Nobody, then he doesn't get picked up anywhere. There's no clicks. There's no nothing. JerMichael Finley, I don't know if he really believes it, but let's put it this way. I don't think Aaron Rodgers truly believes that JerMichael Finley believes what he's saying about Aaron Rodgers. Because there are a lot of guys. I mean, if we're going to go back and, you know, going to have a report card here on all the analysts, people who do this for a living. And we started taking inventory and going, wait, you said that, and you said that. Rob Domofsky covers the Packers. He's covered the Packers for decades. He said there's a 5% chance that Aaron Rodgers comes back. I don't cover the Packers, and I don't pretend to. But I told you Aaron Rodgers is coming back. Didn't know what it was going to feel like, look like. But he was going to come back. Do I think he's there next year? I don't. Do I think that they should have traded him in the offseason? I do. But the reason why they didn't is simple. Jordan Love was not ready. If Jordan Love was ready, the Packers know the best business decision would have been trading Aaron Rodgers after winning the MVP. It might hurt. Might sting a little bit. Fans might not be as receptive to Jordan Love, might not give him some patience there, but it would still be the smartest move because I can trade him. I can get a lot for him. We can dictate where we want to send him. And I got Jordan Love ready to go. And now I got my next quarterback. That's it. That's what this is all about. All right. You take a break here. By the way, the Peacock original, Dan Brown's The Lost Symbol. Make sure you go to Peacock. It's only available on Peacock, peacocktv.com, and you'll be able to sign up. I also have a new podcast. It's called That Scene, second year that we're doing it. This episode is with Julia Stiles. She's, of course, in the Bourne movies. 10 Things I Hate About You. And there was a scene where we talked about where she reads a poem about Heath Ledger, and here's a clip.
And I did not expect that I was going to start crying. It was just a combination of where I was at the time we were finishing. That was towards the end of filming, and it had been such a huge thing for me and such a wonderful experience. And maybe I was sad that it was ending, or I'm a bit of a romantic at heart too. So something about the poem connected with me, but I did not expect to start crying.
We talk about a variety of things, including performing stunts in the Bourne movies, how she almost died off early. She was supposed to. And You know, the rest of the interview can be heard at amazon.com/thatscene. Yes, McLovin.
Did my name come up?
No.
You don't remember the how I almost dated Julia Stiles story?
Okay. How true is that story?
By almost dating, I said hello to her at a concert, and it was we had eye contact. Now, I don't know if it was like that kind of eye contact, but we definitely said hello.
Sounds like sparks flew, just saying.
Sparks, I mean, honestly, like, good thing there was not dry wood around because there was fire about to light.
What was the concert you were at?
It was a Strokes concert, a Bowery Ballroom.
Okay.
And she was walking out, and me and my three friends were there. And we all just, it was one of those things where the crowd pointed her right towards us. And we were all looking at her, we go, hello. She goes, hello. And she pauses for us to say a follow-up line. Nothing comes out of all three of our mouths. And she just keeps walking. She was at NYU or something. Did she go to college and say something like that?
She's from the city.
Yeah, she was a local. And I panicked. But there was something there. And by the way, like style-wise, like you can see the connection.
I see what you did style-wise.
Yeah, like, you know, she likes smart, nerdy men, I think.
Julia Stiles. And it's amazon.com/thatscene. Yes, Paul.
Can you imagine she goes from Jason Bourne to McLovin?
Yeah. Yeah.
Easy transition.
Yes. Yes, it is. All right, we'll take a break. Brent Musburger will join us coming up next here on The Dan Patrick Show. We're getting older. We don't have to act like we're getting older. I don't. I use M-Drive, the everyday supplement for driven guys who don't let age beat them. M-Drive's clinically tested ingredients support healthy testosterone levels while helping maintain lean muscle, giving you the energy you need to fight back against aging every single day. Go to mdrivedan.com. Try for yourself. This month only, take 20% off your first order using the promo code DAN. You're getting free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, nothing to lose. Just try it. Aging is inevitable, but slowing down doesn't have to be. M-Drive helps you perform at your best with top-level T support. Join a community of driven men like me who refuse to let age slow them down. Visit mdrivedan.com to get more energy, leaner muscle, healthy T support your body needs, and take 20% off with the promo code DAN. 60-day money-back guarantee, free shipping, mdrivedan.com. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Make sure you take advantage of this. It's Paulie's birthday week.
Yay!
Paulie loves when people celebrate his birthday. He just doesn't like celebrating it. Two T-shirts, $49. Go to danpatrick.com. It's the Paulie birthday sale. And also got a new tailgate package, a collaboration with a new partner, Sportique. So this is high-quality items, super comfortable. We got a flask. We got a handwritten note from me. All available at danpatrick.com. Yes, Paulie?
I don't mind celebrating my birthday, that 24-hour span.
Yeah.
But again, not the 3 weeks leading up to it and the four-day weekend of celebrating my birthday.
By the way, Tom Curran, our good buddy, has a podcast for the Patriots. It's a Patriots Talk podcast. Tom Brady's father was on it, and Tom asked him about when his son left the Patriots.
Do you find a measure of vindication for your kid?
Damn right. Belichick wanted him out the door, and last year he threw 56 touchdowns. I think that's a pretty good year.
Do you think that Tom feels the same way?
Damn right. Damn right.
Let's bring in Brent Musburger, who the legendary broadcaster, and he's the lead broadcaster, managing editor at Vegas Stats and Information Network, and also he is the voice for the Las Vegas Raiders, hosting Miami on the Raiders Radio Network. Kickoff is at 4:05 Eastern coming up this Sunday. Brent, great to have you back. How are you?
I am fine. Dan, did you say you're giving a flask away?
Yes,
my man, you got to send me one of those flasks for a period on the Dan Patrick Show. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Mr. Brady, he doesn't mince words. I'm telling you, I hadn't heard that that comment from him. I actually met him when Tom was a quarterback at Michigan. Very nice man. Very loyal, obviously, to his son, as he should be. But that sounds like a good podcast. How are you, Danny?
I'm good. Do you think we'll ever get the true story of what happened in New England with Brady and Belichick?
I'm laughing because Belichick never tells you the true story about anything. I love him. I love him to death. Great, great coach. And honestly, I knew his father, who was in the United States. Listen, I'm so old, I know everybody's father. You know what the hell's going on here?
What was Abe Lincoln like, though, Brent? That's what.
Now, there was a guy from Illinois. You know what I'm saying? He could have been a power forward, that big fella.
What's different about the Raiders this year as opposed to previous years?
Gus Bradley. Great hire by John Gruden. Listen, John Gruden is as good an offensive mind, Dan, as I've been around. And he and Derek Carr, they've been together now throughout this tenure, and they really work well. They understand. Derek understands exactly what John wants to do. But the defense was atrocious, and they were not well coached. Now they are. Gus Bradley knows what he's doing. In fact, if you look down at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the big thing that they had going for them, yeah, sure, they had Tom Brady in the offense, but Todd Bowles took over that defense. And that, to me, that was the unit that won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Chiefs couldn't do a thing against the Bowles. So now the Raiders have Bradley. We have a decent defensive line, which we haven't had. The key thing is not just that schematically he knows what he's doing and he knows these other. He knew talent, and talent came to Las Vegas, Dan, because they like Bradley. K.J. Wright. Let's just take K.J. Wright. He couldn't come to terms with the Seattle Seahawks on a contract, but he had played for Bradley up there, okay, when they were the Legion of Doom, and Legion of Boom, I should say. And then so he signed, and he's one of our good linemen. Denzel Perryman, turned loose by Carolina, couldn't beat out the youngster, and he wanted to play for Bradley again. You go on down the line, and the key thing here is the fact that I will tell you that when you look at the Buccaneers, and I've mentioned Tom Brady a lot of times, it's the fact that he could get players to come with him. Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, and Leonard Fournette. It was Brady who reached out to them. There you find out if chemistry is good, if people like enjoy playing for certain coaches or with certain players. And Bradley's been the big difference. That's why we're 2-0. But everybody slow the roll. 2-0 doesn't mean anything. You know, our offensive line's got a number of injuries. It was a great win in Pittsburgh, except the Steelers were without defensive players and they lost Watt in the first half. So, you know, it's 2-0. Yeah, it's very nice. And they turned around after a Monday night, traveled three time zones and won the game. But you still got to win going forward. You know, in the NFL, you've been around a long time, and nothing lasts forever in that league. So we shall see. It's a great start. It's fun for the organization. The kids seem to be really good kids. They seem to enjoy playing with each other, and we'll see what happens.
Why do you think Derek Carr doesn't get the attention that he should?
Well, largely when the media makes up its mind about something or somebody, they're very reluctant to change it. And he has struggled at times, and they haven't had a winning team. He's not flashy. He doesn't give you that great soundbite all the time. But I don't know. He's a solid, solid individual, okay? I don't know of anybody I'd rather have right here who's available. You know, obviously there's Hall of Fame quarterbacks out there that'd be good. But I think, Dan, the media made up its mind early on. And so it's difficult to change their mind. He have to win and get in the playoffs and make a decent run. He's not, you know, he's not a Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's not going to take over a game with electric plays and things like that. But I'll tell you, nobody's throwing the ball any better in the NFL right now than he is.
Talking to Brent Musburger, lead broadcaster, managing editor at Vegas Stats and Information Network. With how much information can you have that you can make what you would consider an educated bet?
What a good question. You know, everybody decides when you're a gambler, as I am, recreationally. And full disclosure, we're 2 weeks into the contest at Circa here in Las Vegas, where you pick five
games against the spread, Dan, every week. And I'm 500, 5-5. We had about 4,000 entries. We've got about 100 entries, and I can't believe it, that are 10-0. I can't believe anybody is 10-0 against the spread. I think everybody has things that they make their final decision on. I'm kind of driven by injuries, and especially cluster injuries, especially the offensive lines that I look at. You can never have – you still have to be lucky, okay? I want to throw that out. There is no magic formula. Listen, if you're a $20 better with your friend or you bet dinner or something, you can have fun. There's no – that's a great question. And there's no magic formula. Before you called this morning, I honestly was just kind of quickly glancing down some of the lines, and I see that the early line was that the Raiders were going to be a point. Now, this was before they played in Pittsburgh, 1.5 favorite over Miami, and I see now that they're 3.5. The bookies adjust those numbers based upon what they think the public is going to do. And so, obviously, they think that the public's going to be betting on the Raiders as the week goes on. I guess I'm a little surprised at how the league has embraced it so quickly, gambling, that is, on the games, after being opposed to it for so long. I mean, my goodness, I can't watch ESPN or anybody without seeing a scroll down below with a number on it, over under and everything.
But when you did the NFL Today with Jimmy the Greek, did you ever hear from Commissioner Roselle about being a little too overt with the gambling?
This is a very good story, because when we Bob Wessler, and there were only Pete Roselle had an attorney with him, and we went over to his office with Jimmy, Bob, and myself. So there were only five of us in the room. And I knew that Pete Roselle loved to bet horses, because I would see him at Aqueduct and Belmont from time to time. Wellington Merrill was always with him. So I knew that he understood gambling and was aware of it. And I was pretty sure he'd be all in on the Greek, and he was. It was really a nice conversation. But toward the end, and we were there upwards of an hour, he looked at us and he said, listen, I have only one request to make. And every one of us, us three from being from CBS, knew that when Pete Roselle asked us for one request, it wasn't any request. This is how it's going to be done. He said, I don't want you to say -3 or +7 or -10. But otherwise, go ahead, talk about it. And I thought to myself, my heart sunk. I said, oh my goodness, how do you do this without saying that? And it was on the walk back to CBS that the Greek and Bob and I decided to try the checkboard, and that people would understand that if all the checks were lined up on one side, it was going to be a big win, okay, and you could go ahead. But if it was like, you know, back and forth, this team's offense is better than that other team's defense, then down by the 3, or maybe you want to jump on the underdog and things like that. So we used that, and to tell you the truth, Roselle never, ever complained about anything. He was always very, very nice, very, very complimentary to the Greek. The only time that I ever got a call, but it never came from the NFL, it always came from CBS, and was at the end of the NFC Championship. We were then the NFC network at CBS. But at any rate, I would always ask the Greek, call your buddies in Vegas, give me the line for the Super Bowl. And I always had it going forward. I always knew what it was going to be, depending upon who would win the game. And I would throw it out at the end, because I always thought people were interested in the number, whether they gambled or not. And I knew I was going to get a call on Monday morning. Curtis, you can't do that, Brent. You can't. And oh, my goodness, I forgot. I'm sorry. I apologize. And then next year, I do it all over again. You know what I'm saying, my man?
I saw where there's a book out on the NFL Today, the show that you started back in the 70s. I think it's called You're Looking Live. Are you aware that there's a book on the history of the NFL Today show on CBS?
No, I know nothing about it, to tell you the truth. So I'm assuming that I'm going to get quit. Hey, listen, I know you have no clue about even who wrote it, but if the dude sends me a free copy, you know, I might read it.
Okay, but what? How much drama was there back then that they're going to write a book about it?
Well, there was drama, certainly, between the Greek and Phyllis George. There was no doubt about that, okay? Because we only had 22 minutes of content, Dan. And the Greek was always pissed if he thought he wasn't getting enough time or I was paying too much attention to Phyllis. And thank God for Irv Cross, by the way. My goodness. He was Mr. Stability. Of course, I knew him from being with him at Northwestern when he played for Ara Parseghian. A lot of people don't realize that Ara started Miami of Ohio, came to Northwestern before he ever went to Notre Dame and became a Catholic. Can you imagine that? There's my favorite Presbyterian coach at Northwestern, and he became a Catholic. No, Ara was a great, great friend of mine. Later became a broadcaster with me. But, I honestly know nothing about the book. And in fact, your producer, I didn't even know there was one coming out until he just told me in a text, so I don't. But who knows? Maybe somebody ran into me over a couple of whiskeys, and I thought, I don't know.
Well, they talk about, I guess, a post-show altercation with you and the Greek where he took a swing at you.
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. I do remember. My brother was sitting in we were in a booth, and the Greek was hacked about the lack of time, and he came in alone, and obviously he'd had a other watering hole before he came to this one, and he threw a punch at me, but listen, it was like he tapped me on the back, to tell you the truth. But my brother dove across the table after the Greek, and the Greek backed up to the bar, grabbed a bottle, and he smashed the bottle, like, you know, the old time saloon fight. He smashed the bottle right there. The smartest guy in the room, Dan, by far the smartest guy in the room, was the bartender. He turned the lights off. It plunged the entire place into darkness, okay? So by the time the flashlights came out, you know, people were at opposite ends of the room, and that was it. It was over and done. So I got home. I was commuting between L.A. at the time. I was working with Connie Chung on the news. And Van Gordon Sauter was in the head of CBS Sports. He called, "I'm going to fire that sumbitch. I'm going to fire him." I said, "Hold on, my man." I said, because I didn't want blood on my hands over that. So I said, "Let me call you back." So when I talked to my wife, I had a few coffees, sat there and thought about it. I called him back. I said, Van, no. I said, I don't want the Greek fired. I said, let me think about something and we'll get this done. And so I went to Bob Arum, who was a buddy, and got my hands on some boxing gloves and a bell, and we opened the show and life. It was more like a couple of brothers having a fight than a couple of antagonists, to tell you. Oh yeah, but that was a hell of a night at that saloon, I'll tell you that.
It's great to hear your voice. Congrats on your Raiders, and thanks for joining us as always, Brent.
Thanks for checking in, Dan. You and the guys take care. Talk to you soon. Thanks, guys.
That's Brent Musburger. It's got the Raiders and the Dolphins. That's Sunday at 4:05 Eastern, Raiders Radio Network. He's always like that. Always. My man. Back then, that was a big deal. No social media either. But the Greek would always have like these big medallions. Like he dressed in this gaudy way. I mean, he played up the whole Jimmy the Greek. But Phyllis George would do a feature story. Irv Cross would give you sort of a breakdown on the game coming up and, you know, what the teams are likely to do. And then Jimmy the Greek had this, both teams, and then there'd be check marks on who he liked. You know, running game, the Browns, passing game, the St. Louis Cardinals, and, you know, intangibles or special teams. Now it's 22 minutes. That's how long the pregame was. Now you got 4 hours to get it all in. Jimmy the Greek would love it now. He'd get his own half hour. Yeah, Paul.
Having Brent on the show is like having Frank Sinatra on the show with sports. It feels like you're talking to someone who's totally still has his fastball, completely.
Yeah.
But he's from a different time. Yeah. And he's like, he's never changed. Awesome.
I hope he never changes. But he's got that energy. That's what leaves you. You know, when people say, you know, what's first thing to leave you in this business? And I think it's the enthusiasm to do it every single day, and to be excited to do it every day. And Brent still has that. You know, Dickie V, he has to dial it up, but he still has it. There are certain broadcasters that just, they still have it because they want to have it. And it's so important. I think I go back to when Brent was talking about Joe Paterno, and I asked him how long he thought that Joe Paterno would coach, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said that Joe Paterno was afraid to retire because he would die, that coaching kept him alive. And look, it was kind of harsh in how it sounded, but that's Brent. That's Brent to me same way. And I'm wired the same way as well, where you just, like, this whole thought of retirement, like, that sounds horrible. Like, what do? I always notice the guys who've retired, they're at the golf course. All they do is sit around and complain that they're retired. I would hate to do that. I mean, Brent's got his, how old's Brent? Is he late 70s?
I think he's 79. I'll check.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, this day in sports history, all of those goodies coming up. Doc Rivers, the 76ers head coach, was on First Take with Stephen A. and had this to say about Ben Simmons coming back.
There's been so many times this has happened that hasn't been reported, and the guy comes back. So, listen, we're going to go through it. We're going to always do what's best for the team. But I can tell you up front, we would love to get Ben back. And if we can, we're going to try to do that. You know, Ben has a long contract. So, it's in our hands, and we want him back.
Okay, so now everybody's playing nice. Stephen A. did ask Doc about what somebody asked Doc when the playoffs ended for the 76ers. Can you win a title with Ben Simmons? Stephen A. re-asked that question today.
What disappointed me, and I don't do this media thing very right. often. You never see me do that.
Right.
It was being portrayed that I was out there saying, I don't think we can win with Ben, and I do. I told Ben that the next day. What really disappointed me was the next day I went on and said, guys, I knew exactly what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And no one heard it. They just kept running their narrative. So, you know, I've been in sports a long time, and I'm not misrepresented very often, but in that case, I was. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is. Ben knows, Rich knows, and I know.
Rich being Rich Paul, his agent. All I know is when Doc said this at the press conference, then it spoke volumes. Joel Embiid with what he said about Ben Simmons. Sometimes when you have a retraction, sometimes you don't mean the retraction as much as you did what you said initially. Do I think deep down Doc thinks he can win a championship with Ben Simmons? I don't. Or at least you can have doubt there. I would have doubt. That's all. Stephen A. also reported on First Take. Now, is he reporting this, that the Nets were interested in trading for Ben Simmons for Kyrie Irving, but Kevin Durant stepped in and said, we're not going to do that. Is that right, Seton?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't hear it because we're on the air right now, but there was Nick Wright, who works for Fox Sports, First Things First, said something a couple of days ago about the possibility of Kyrie being traded. And Nick Wright reported that Kyrie would threaten to retire if traded. So maybe that is that was sort of simmering over here. And then it's come to the surface that maybe they were interested in getting Ben Simmons with the Nets and trading Kyrie Irving, which is pretty interesting, because if you're the Nets, Would I do that deal? I just have to know who Ben Simmons is. I have an idea who Kyrie is. He's a handful. He's talented. You just wonder, is it all worth it? Harden with Simmons and Durant? I'd probably do it.
Hot.
And I know that we talk about, oh, there's never been an offensive force like this with, you know, three guys like this with Durant and Harden and Kyrie. And I understand all of that. But you don't need all of that firepower. As great as some of these, you know, offensive weapons are, and, you know, Golden State still needed to have role players to win a championship. You can have all that firepower. You got to have other players that fill in the void. And Ben Simmons, he doesn't have to shoot. He can play defense. He can rebound. He can pass. I take a little. He's still in the spotlight, though. Man, that's an even bigger spotlight.
Oh, New York will be great to him.
Yeah. Well, it's Brooklyn. It's different. No, it's different in Brooklyn. If this was the Garden, it'd be completely different. Yeah, McLevin.
But he can hide behind Harden and Durant, take up all the energy.
Yeah, they can take the air out of it.
Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge. There's a lot of guys to focus on there.
Yeah, yeah. You get a 25-year-old. Yeah, I'd certainly. I don't know what else would be involved in that trade, but it's certainly interesting. Jesse in Los Angeles. Hey, Jess, what's on your mind?
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
Hey, as always, thanks for taking my call. And Uncle Brent is a national treasure. I love when you have the older guard on to talk sports and history. It's clutch, because without those kinds of stories, my generation would likely forget. But, DP, you have such an influential voice in sports, and sometimes you can say things like what you're saying. It just manifests. And that's why I'm asking you, as the show's resident Sacramento Kings fan, to please stop mentioning Ben Simmons' trade thoughts to the Kings, because that organization is dumb enough to bite and trade the young talent core we have. We have a potential lockdown defender in Davion. We don't need a guy who can't and won't shoot the ball. And you keep saying, like, ship him somewhere nondescript. And Philly already went down this road before, like, 5 years ago. Just ship him to Orlando like they did with Fultz. Bunch of picks, out of sight, out of mind. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, Jess. Sorry about that. Because if I could get Tyrese Halliburton and Buddy Hield, if I'm Philly, oh, yeah. Absolutely. Sign me up. You might, you know, might be a little bit more involved in the deal, but, yeah, that'd be good. I like that. Halliburton's good. And Buddy Hield, I thought Buddy Hield was going to the Lakers instead of Russell Westbrook. This day in sports history, Paulie, you got one for me?
It's not a big one.
That's what she said.
1934, the NHL approved a new rule. All right, hold on. That allowed penalty shots, and I'm just going to leave it there.
Don Shula won his 300th NFL game on this day. Let's
it's a reaction.
What did we learn today? I'm going to start back left with Todd Fritz.
Recreational gambler Brett Musburger is driven by injuries, in particular banged up offensive lines, when placing bets, my man.
McLovin, what did you learn today?
Dan Orlovsky and Mike Lennon are a couple, apparently.
Yeah, they got married. Seton O'Connor.
Dan Orlovsky actually admitted that other players were better than him. What a refreshing thing for an athlete to say.
Paulie, what did you learn on today's award-nominated program?
Watering halls and saloons.
Watering holes. Yeah, going into a saloon. When's the last time you went into a saloon? Todd, what did I learn on the program?
Back to Dan Orlovsky. He thinks if the Ravens went with an empty backfield, Lamar Jackson just might run for 2,000 yards.
What we learned, brought to you by the great folks at Mercedes SUV. The family proves that they say good things come to those who wait. Mercedes-Benz SUV family proves otherwise. It takes no time. Set up a test drive at your local Mercedes-Benz dealer. Learn more, MBUSA.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Thanks. We appreciate your support. We'll do it again tomorrow here. One more item as we close out the show, Panini trading cards. There's nobody better at doing this. Some of the things that they give you, the hottest rookies, the biggest superstars, all-time greats, only one place to collect them all, Panini trading cards. The official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Exclusive trading card partner of the NFL, NFL Players Association. They have the big names. They have Patrick Mahomes, Trevor Lawrence, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and a whole lot more. You got autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, hottest rookie cards. There's something for everybody in Panini America packs. Week 3 matchups could have a huge impact on the football card market. How about Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes squaring off? Kyler Murray and Trevor Lawrence face off? Jalen Hurts versus Dak Prescott and the renewal of a classic NFC East rivalry? Should be fun. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. PaniniAmerica.net, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show.